Just before we open God's word, let us pray. Father, we just pray that you will reveal to us the truths from your word this day. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 to 13, where Jeremiah is compelled to preach. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You seized me and prevailed. I am a laughingstock all the time. Everyone ridicules me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I proclaim violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has become my constant disgrace and derision. I say I won't mention him or speak any longer in his name. But his message becomes a fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I become tired of holding it in, and I cannot prevail. For I have heard the gossip of many people. Terror is on every side. Report him. Let's report him. Everyone I trusted watches for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived so that we might prevail against him and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a violent warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Since they have not succeeded, they will be utterly shamed, an everlasting humiliation that will never be forgotten. Lord of armies, testing the righteous and seeing the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have presented my case to you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he rescues the life of the needy from evil people. And our second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 to 18. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that, as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen.
But I want to talk this morning about not losing heart. And before I start with my notes, when the reading from Jeremiah is actually in the calendar, the planner for the year for you know, for churches and so on. And when I read it, I thought, what sort of a whinger is this bloke? Like, seriously. But then when you understand the role that Jeremiah played as part of proclaiming God and calling the Israelites back to repentance, you think, yeah, okay, I'm starting to get it now. He had every good reason to complain to a point. But how does he finish it? He brings honour and glory to God. And really, that's kind of behind what I want to talk about this morning. I'm quite sure that none of us came here this morning hoping that, you know, or praying or longing for someone to sing something or praise something or even preach something that would strip us of all our hope. Did anyone come here hoping to be discouraged? I'd certainly hope not. Did anyone come here today hoping that someone would knock all the wind out of your sails? I'm pretty sure that's not why we came. Nobody came here saying, please hurt me. Please slip away all my motivation for serving the Lord. Please discourage me. Please defeat me. That's not why we came. In fact, we came here looking for the opposite. We came here looking for encouragement, seeking hope, desiring to be motivated to do greater things in the Lord, not lesser. We came here looking for help. Now, if I told you that there was a secret that would allow you to have hope in this world, would you want to know what it is? Thank you. So in a world that is so filled with hopelessness, discouragement, and defeat, if I told you that there is a way that you could live your life every day and not lose heart, would you want to hear about it? And I'm not talking about Amway. Absolutely. Again, that's why we are here. In this text in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he has found the secret to staying encouraged in the Lord. In verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore, we do not give up." Literally, we do not lose heart. There's all sorts of different versions of that, but it basically revolves around that. Paul knows the secret of not losing heart, and he shares that secret with us in this passage. So I want to spend a few minutes on these verses this morning, and I want to talk to you, as I mentioned earlier, about not losing heart. And I want to show you some truths in these verses that will help you to faint not, which is another interpretation, even when life is at its most discouraging. And you know, this is my first deviation. We look at what's happened in the life of our church over recent times, and you know, we can be easily discouraged and be distraught. You know, there's been loss of loved ones, there's been horrendous events, there's been, you know, people with all kinds of infirmities and illnesses, all that kind of stuff. And it would be very, very easy for us to start to lose a little bit of hope and some of that zeal. So if you are interested in being encouraged, motivated, and having hope in the Lord, please follow me through as we go through some of these verses. First of all, in verse 16, we have this incredible statement made by Paul. He says to us, "Therefore, we do not give up or faint not, as some versions have it." I don't know about you, but that's a pretty amazing statement. All right, and I'll explain to you a little bit more detail why I think it's an amazing statement made by Paul. The word faint refers to a failing of the heart. So the phrase can be read this way: we do not lose heart. Paul is telling us that regardless of what comes his way, he does not give up. He does not give in. He does not give out. He does not lose heart. And it is so easy to lose heart, I think, today. I mean, it's so easy to come to a place where we are ready to throw in the towel, to lay down our burdens, to just quit. I've had enough. It seems to me, just from reading what the Bible says about the life of Paul, that it would have been very easy for him to lose heart. But he says, "We faint not." He is saying, "I never lose heart." Now, is he bragging? Absolutely he's not. He is making a simple statement of fact. Paul had discovered a spiritual secret that enabled him to be encouraged even in the midst of circumstances that would have discouraged anyone else. Paul's life was anything but easy. Consider two passages that speak of the problems that he was forced to encounter. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself." That's a pretty powerful statement. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, we read these words. And forgive me for my little bit of humour here. But Paul says, "Five times I have received the 40 lashes minus one." So in other words, he could have written 39. Okay, that's just my dark humour. "Five times I have received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers. Toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches." I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? How many of us have been through all of that kind of stuff? Not many. I mean, I was talking to Heather recently about their experiences in New Guinea when they were there in the mission field. There can be some pretty horrendous times in those kind of environments, but God sustains, God fulfills. And yet, in spite of all these trials and tribulations and burden, Paul is able to say, I never lose heart. Is there anyone here who can actually echo that statement? Is there anyone here who can truly say, I never get discouraged? I never want to give up. I'm always encouraged, excited and energized about my life and in my walk with the Lord. And most have never and never will experience life like Paul did. Yes, we all stumble from discouragement to discouragement. We all want to quit from time to time. We all want to just stop and give no more because we feel that we have given all that we have. We have no more to give. Most of us are like David, who said in Psalm 55, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. That's a lovely statement. Then would I fly away and be at rest. If we would be honest, I'm quite sure we would all have to admit that at some times, like Paul, we would like, oh, sorry, like David, we would like to sprout a pair of wings and fly away from the trials, the tribulations, and the troubles of this life. I know I've wanted to a few times. Another digression. In fact, it's taken me 5 years to decide whether I'm going to retire or not. Still deciding. But one of the things that causes us to think about these kinds of things is what we experience through life. And I won't go on and rave on about, you know, the kind of stuff that we've got to put up with, but I deal with truck drivers. Truck drivers can be a cantankerous lot. They can cause and want you to do things which really are not right. They put pressure on you. I deal with customers. Now, everybody loves customers who have got a business of their own because they're so wonderful. They do everything right. But we've got to deal with that. And so, Alan, you're a perfect example of this with your role as a CEO in a business that was very, very demanding. And you've spoken about that a few times with various ones of us. All of these things, this pressure on us, these trials, these tribulations, we get to the point and say, you know what, I've had enough. I want these wings that David talks about so that we can fly away. So while there are times when leaving troubles and afflictions behind seems like the best option, really I'm far more interested in reaching the place where I can say what Paul said, I faint not, I do not lose heart. Now, I believe that place is available to the friends of Jesus. I believe that place is available to you and to me. Not necessarily easily, but it is available. And so from this incredible statement that Paul makes in verse 16, he then talks to us about a very familiar struggle. And he identifies a common struggle that we all face. He says, though our outer person is being destroyed. The reason it is so easy for us to lose heart at times is because the outer man is perishing. Now, let me explain. The outer man, of course, refers to the fleshly part of us. It encompasses both our body, but also our mind. The results of aging in the body and sin in the mind conspire to strip away joy, hope, and peace of heart and mind. That's what we have to deal with on a daily basis. So we are told here that the outer man is being destroyed or perishing. The word perish simply means to rot, to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. That's a nice way to think about our life, isn't it? But it's the same word, this same word destroyed, is used in a few passages throughout Scripture. One, for example, is Luke 12, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old. An inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. In that verse, the word destroys is the same word that's translated perish. So like moths can destroy clothing, the outer man is being eaten alive every single day. So one of the reasons why we are so prone to losing heart is because our outer man is being destroyed. It's being corrupted every day. We've only got to look around at each other. We can see that taking place. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I'm 21 and a little bit. But I experience this in my life every day. When I try to get up and walk around, I go, how many don't do that? You don't do that. God bless you. What's your secret? because we're all experiencing the perishing of our outer man. So Paul identifies this as being one of these common struggles. The outer man, of course, refers to that fleshly part of us. It encompasses both the body and the mind. The results of aging in the body and sin in the mind conspire to strip away this joy, hope and peace of heart and mind. So we talked about this passage in Luke 12:33, where he talks about, you know, not allowing a thief to come near and to have a moth to destroy us. Very, very common verse. So one of the reasons we are so prone to losing heart is because of this outer man perishing, as I've mentioned. So we don't lose heart even though our outer man or our body or our brain, our lungs, our liver, whatever part of us you want to talk about, are being destroyed, but we keep heart. The destruction of the outer man comes predominantly from two sources. One of them is fallen nature. The whole natural world is under the curse of God because of sin. The world is under a curse of futility, pain, suffering, corruption, and death. And again, we've only got to look around us to see what's going on in nations, in companies, in businesses, individuals, and we can see the way in which all of that is unfolding, and more as we see the day of the Lord returning, coming closer. Romans 8:22 and 23, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labour pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. God saves us in stages, not all at once. Now, let me explain that to you. Don't misunderstand me. We are saved, all right? We are already saved. We are forgiven. We are justified because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and because of the empty tomb. There's no question about any of that. When we come to him in faith and repentance, he eternally saves us from the penalty of our sins. But we are not yet free from corruption and death. These things. 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is, we all live out our days in fragile jars of clay. One day the vessel will crack, it will break, and we will fade away. That is the nature of life. We know that. Of course, if you've lived a while in this world, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These bodies are dying, and they die a little every day. The second source is fallen man. Other people can cause us to lose heart. If this fallen nature doesn't get you, fallen people may well. The foolishness of a fallen man causes him to get drunk, drive his car, potentially with catastrophic events. The fallen nature leads fallen people to strap bombs on their chests and bodies and walk onto city buses and kill people. The fallen nature causes terrorists to go into shopping malls and kill people, or into schools and indiscriminately kill children and other defenseless and innocent people. Fallen people let us down. They hurt our feelings and fail the Lord. Sometimes they can hurt us physically, they can hurt us emotionally, verbally, and even spiritually. And this, of course, is one of those things that can cause us to lose heart. It's one of these constant pressures that we deal with every day. And that was certainly Paul's experience. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. And in 2 Corinthians 4, first part of verse 12, so then death is at work in us. Now, Jeremiah stated it fairly clearly in our Old Testament reading, as I've already alluded to. And he says these words, for I have heard the gossip of many people. Terror is on every side. Report him. Let's report him. Everyone I trusted watched for my fail. Perhaps he will be deceived so that we might prevail against him and take our vengeance on him. But then what does he say? Therefore, My persecutors will stumble and not prevail. And he finishes off by saying, Lord of armies, testing the righteous and seeing the heart of mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have presented my case to you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he rescues the life of the needy from evil people. Now this too can be our experience. Yes, it can be easy to lose heart when life and people turn against us. It's so easy to come to the place where you just want to quit. But you don't have to. You don't have to be defeated or become a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God or one of those people who used to go to church. You don't have to be one of those who used to be faithful. You can reach a place where you do not lose heart. You can reach a place where you can press in spite of what presses you down. Remember these words that Paul said. Therefore, we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed. So what we need then is what I need. We all need. And it is to come to the place where Paul came to, where he said that he wants to reach that place as well. Though his outward man would perish, he will not give up, and we will not give up. I want to come to the place where even though I am attacked from without and from within by a fallen nature and fallen man, I do not lose heart. So I'm preaching to myself today as well, preaching to myself, speaking these words over my life. And I don't want to lose heart regardless of what is going on around me or in me. So this text helps us to do just that. In these verses, Paul shares his secret of keeping heart even when life turns against him. Now, let's examine this secret for a minute because we need the help that it gives us. So the secret to not losing heart involves three important realizations, and I'll go through these quickly. Firstly, we are in verse 16, the sort of the second half of that verse, we are given fresh strength for every day. Paul reminds us that while the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. The natural man, which includes the body and the mind, is dying. Yes, we know that. But every day we need to have the refreshing of the inner man. Every day we experience heartbreak, sorrow, pain, all kinds of problems, and the effects of the curse of sin in the world. The things we see, hear, feel, experience can all work against us to cause us to lose heart. And you've only got to watch the news every day. That's all we ever get. But while the outward man might grow weaker and even nearer to the grave, the inner man must be renewed day by day. Every day, the inner man is given new strength to face the trials of that day. And while each day does bring these unique problems, there also comes with it its own measure of grace from the hands of a Father who loves us. And here is his promise from the book of Lamentations. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. What a beautiful passage. The inner man is renewed every day. But we need to understand that this is not a one-time drink. All right, it's not a one-time process that guarantees us daily strength forever. We need to make sure it happens on a day-by-day basis. We need to drink from the fountain that Jesus provides for us in his word. Each day demands its own supply of grace. So we are renewed with fresh fuel, fresh food, fresh medicine. But what does it mean? It means that you and I need to feed on the Word of God every single day. We need to pray to the Father every day. We need the fellowship of the saints as often as we can. Going to church once a week or once a month won't get the job done. We need a fresh supply every day. It's no wonder that so many lose heart. They make no investment or very little investment in the renewing of the inner man. You know, we feed our bodies, which are perishing. We go to the doctor. We take our medicines. Some of us exercise. We take care of our bodies, which are perishing. Yet so often we make little or very little provision for the inner man, who must be renewed day by day. That's why we can sometimes lose heart. We lose heart because sometimes we focus our attention on everything but the one thing that demands most in our lives. We take no thought for our relationship with God, for the renewing of the inner man day by day. And that's critical, that's vital for us to survive as the friends of Jesus, as Christians, as those who belong to God. The second realization is this: nothing we face in this life will last forever. So notice carefully the language that Paul uses in these verses. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now I read that and I thought, how on earth could Paul write something like that after we read about the other things that took place in his life? But there's a really important principle here for us to learn. He says that his light affliction, and it's only but for a moment. So let's examine that for a very quick moment, because that's not how it feels when trials come to us, is it? It never feels light, and it never seems like it's over in a minute. So Paul says that the pressure he is under is easy. This is not how Paul described his troubles earlier, as we've mentioned. Here is what he said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. And that's an important verse for us to consider and to remember. In that verse, Paul tells us that his troubles were more than he could handle. He says they pushed him beyond his natural bounds. It was literally more than he could take. Now he comes back and tells us that they are light. They are easy. They are merely here for a moment. The word moment literally means for the instant. So what Paul, I think, is saying is this: the problem of life that seems so heavy right now, the troubles that seem as if they will never end, the burdens we think will break us under their weight, are really just weighty for a moment. He tells us that compared with the eternal weight of glory that we will experience when we arrive home in heaven, everything we face here on earth is light and easy. You've got to keep saying that to yourself. What we experience is light and easy, as much as sometimes it might try to weigh us down. Again, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Nothing we face here is worth comparing with the glory we will experience there. Our problem is this: we hear this, but do we actually believe it? So often, what we believe is what we see. What we believe is what we feel. What we believe is the pressure we feel. We never think it's easy. We rarely hear a believer testify about their problem and say they are light. Paul says that everything in this world is temporal. It is merely here for a short time and it will pass away. But what we can't see is those things that are ours in heaven, are eternal in nature. We will groan for a few days here, but we will rejoice for endless ages there. We will feel pain here for a short time, but we will experience his glory forever. Again, an astounding, astonishing statement from Paul. The psalmist said this: weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So the secret for not losing heart is maintaining their proper perspective. Ask the Lord to help you get your eyes off what you can see around you, and to help you look beyond this world to the glory that awaits his presence. That's how Moses made it. And this is a really important verse. By faith, and this is out of Hebrews, if you know, through this particular chapter of Hebrews, we talk about the faith people. Moses, by faith, he left Egypt behind, not afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Now that's faith, right? He didn't allow the pressure and the stress and the potential of the king of Egypt, but instead he looked forward. He knew what it was that God had to do moment by moment. That's also how Abraham made it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. More faith. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. It's also how Stephen made it. Stephen, this is in Acts 7. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's how you and I will make it. Remember, if nothing else this morning, remember this one little phrase. It did not come to stay, it came to pass. It did not come to stay, it came to pass. Verse 17, the third realization is that everything we face in this life does in fact have meaning. Paul tells us that our affliction works for us. Now, this is an amazing statement again. I mean, this whole passage is full of these amazing statements. When things happen in our lives, we often look at them and think they're meaningless. Why did this happen? What's the reason behind that? We wonder how anything that painful or that is senseless, that's tragic, can have any kind of meaning. But if we are believers, we have our faith in God, it does. If we are a child of God, nothing that happens in our life is meaningless. Everything that takes place is all a part of the Father's plan to develop us as his children. So just remember, God didn't save you to make you happy. He didn't save you to bless you, although that will happen. But he saved you to be more like Jesus. That is his eternal purpose. Here is how Paul said it. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many nations, many brothers and sisters. So nothing in your life as a Christian is meaningless. When your heart breaks and your dreams shatter, it's not meaningless. Remember the words of Paul, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. So, wrapping all this up, how do we not lose heart? We do it by seeing that the inward man is renewed day by day. We do that by preaching to ourselves. We do it by reminding ourselves of the truths found not only in this passage, but in lots of other passages through Scripture. Yes, we are earthen vessels. We are weak and we need a power that is outside of ourselves if we are to stand. That power comes from only one source, and that is God through his Holy Spirit. Preach that truth to your heart every day. It's not about you, it's about him. These verses in 2 Corinthians remind us that we will be troubled here, because Jesus was troubled here. God is doing in us what he did in him. God is revealing himself through us just like he did through Jesus. And the only way people can see the light inside our vessel is for the vessel to be broken. Preach this truth to your own heart every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for amazing apostles and disciples like Paul, who was able to grasp such, in my mind, such an unbelievable concept of not losing heart. And we think that we go through tough times here on earth, and we do. We're not causing that to have any less implications for us. But Father God, you have made a way for us to be able to overcome those things because of what Jesus has done for us, but also because, Father God, you provide us with the power and the strength to be able to overcome, to not lose heart. may it be, Father God, as we go from this place today, that we would preach to ourselves of our salvation and the fact that we look forward to a heavenly glory. In Jesus' name, amen.